Yes, please. Thank you. It's a heavy cup of coffee. Yeah. It really. So, Joe will sit here. Bad. So I'm not giving up on social commentary yet. The events of this year have been inescapable for anyone who lives within the U.S., you know. Within the U.S. It's just inescapable to see what's gone on. And everybody is calling for unity right now. Well, not everybody is calling for unity, because then they would be united. But people are calling for unity all over the society. And yet no one, or very few, are offering any sort of points that could be touched upon for agreement. So I thought that I would offer at least one point on which just about everybody could agree, which is pretty miraculous, I think, for our society. But here's the point that I want to make, particularly in California. This is a point I offer, and see if we all can agree on this. We, as a society, are having a difficulty coping. We, as a society, are having trouble coping. We are not able to make it through life. And as an entire society, we are not coping. We are not, okay, we have, think about it, we have yoga studios. We have we got entertainment coming out of our pores. We have, right? We have enough wealth and power to make Solomon blush, in the words of Eddie Izzard, right? We have prescription pharmaceuticals. Like, what do you need? We have booze. We have legalize marijuana on top of this. Why did we legalize marijuana? I propose to you that we legalize marijuana because we aren't coping. We've got all this stuff. We've got all these strategies. We have more therapists. Okay. Then we've got a quarter. Do you realize that in the U.S., the U.S. has 25% of the world's prisoners? 25% of people in prison in the world are in prison in the United States, the land of the free, right?
Well, it's actually quite expensive, but, you know, it's not the land of the free.
What's that?
Not if you start letting them out.
Yeah. See? But there's the problem. Is it a good moral thing? Has it helped? Has it helped us
to lock all those people up?
Has it helped us? See, there's the problem. We're not coping. And there is this very deep, very pervasive sense, no matter where you go, no matter who you talk to, that something is desperately wrong. It doesn't matter if somebody is far left. You say, so what do you think about how the U.S. is doing? Our society, how do you think about it? Oh, man, things are bad. Things are crazy. Things are terrible. You go to the middle, you know, middle path between the lefties and the righties, you know, the left coast and the East Coast, but yeah, sorry. We're in California, right? It's the left coast. You go in the middle, you ask somebody who's in the middle, and you say, what do you think about how our society is doing? What do they say? Oh, man, it's bad. There's trouble. You go all the way to the right. Need we ask? No, you don't have to ask them. They'll just tell you. But, right?
Sort of like a vegan. But, right? You know the joke, sorry, Amber. I just. How can you tell when you met a vegan? You know that? Don't worry, they'll tell you, yeah. I put kale in it. Sorry. Sad. No matter where you go, there is this, and no matter what orientation you're talking about, there is a deep conviction that things are broken in perhaps irretrievable ways. And this is compounded by a lack of clarity about what to do about it. Do we believe that it's right to incarcerate a fourth of the world's prisoners? Well, but what if you let them out? Right? Is it? What's the solution? Have you heard anybody offer a solution yet?
Build it well.
You know, the Chinese tried that. It took a long time. It's still hanging around, and it didn't work. Yeah, 1,700 years to build or something, right? 1,700 miles long, rather. That great wall. Build a wall? Is that really going to fix our problems? No. Get bigger guns? Yeah, the great Chinese wall, yeah. Is that gonna remedy? See, our society is experiencing what if you went to a doctor, a physician, and you said, "Man, something's wrong. I feel wrong." And the physician said, "Well, what's wrong?" He said, "It's wrong, you know? I feel sick. It's like nausea, right?" What causes nausea? Everything, right? You could have just watched Doctor Strange, and now you have nausea from the special effects. It could be that you're dying of a tumor. It could be that you have the flu. It could be, you know, you ate yogurt that didn't agree with you. Everything causes nausea. Or the same, you know, General Malaise. I want to meet him someday. But General Malaise. It's just, what's wrong? I don't know, something's wrong. And I think that part of the difficulty in trying to assess is that it's compounded again by a loss of proportion. We've lost our sense of proportion. We've expressed outrage so frequently and so deeply about such insignificant things that now outrage itself is meaningless. So what do you express when something outrageous happens? We've used up our outrage. We've used up our indignation so that now it accounts for nothing and we have nothing less. And everyone experiences outrage at the slightest thing. We've lost our sense of proportion. Representative Davis, Congressman Davis from Chicago, his grandson. I don't know if you heard or read the... Yeah, you read or hear about it? Grandson, what happened? Okay, so 15-year-old. Is it gym class? And he trades his basketball shoes for another kid's trousers, slacks, pants, whatever they were. So, you know, trade your basketball. Hey, you know, school, I'll trade you these pants for those basketball shoes, and they make the trade. Then the guy wants to reverse the trade afterward. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, I already ate your Twinkie, you know? It's like, sorry, you traded your apple for, you know, my apple for your Twinkie. And you can't go back on those things. It's like tap, tap, no changes. Guy doesn't reverse the trade. So the 15-year-old with a 17-year-old come over to the guy's house and go into his house and shoot him in the head in front of his family. Just walked in, had an argument,
Give me back my pants. I'll give you back the shoes. No. Boom! Shoots him in the head. We have lost all sense of proportion. And of course, the police spokesman says, these people are using guns to settle petty disputes over clothes. But a few blocks from my house, I was talking to my neighbor. One of our neighbors in the area was walking by at 7-Eleven, walking by a car and had keys hanging off of his belt, right? And scraped the bumper or the fender as he went by. And the guys jumped out with some sort of club and clubbed the guy into paralysis. He's in the ICU, may not live. You know, because he's scrapped, because of, hey, that's my Chrysler. Yeah, for just walking by and brushing up against it. My neighbor, Senor Gomez, I think I told you this, his son a couple months ago goes to get $60 out of the ATM. He walks around the corner. Someone had been watching him and had was telling someone else what was going on, cueing him. And as soon as he walked around the corner, somebody jumped out behind, hit him in back of the head with a baseball bat. He's 28 years old, died for $60. Your $60, you know, is worth this guy's whole life. We have lost all sense of proportion. We don't know when to be outraged anymore because we've overexerted our outrage and we've overexerted our presumption. We don't know what the remedy is and we don't know what the problem is. By the way, that shooting of Representative Davis's grandson was the 673rd homicide in Chicago so far this year. 673rd in Chicago this year. Psycho. And we know that there is something desperately, desperately wrong. That we're acting this way, that we're this flipped out, that we have no sense of what's important and what's not as a society. It's really bonkers. Yeah. And it's maddening to watch, isn't it? Yeah. No, go ahead. Speak it. Speak it. You're an elder. You can speak out. And it's phenomenally frustrating, isn't it? Disheartening. Hopeless. And frightening. Yeah. Are we in Alice in Wonderland, you know? What, like, did the Russians put something in our water and we're all crazy? Yeah. Like, is this really going on? Is this really happening?
And, how dare you speak out against the Russians?
Well, don't worry, I'm finished. I ran into that, didn't I? sweet, huh? Yeah. You just wish I'd stop, but that's terrible. Let's go back to our... See, we have to relieve it with gallows humor, don't we? Because otherwise, we'd want to scream. We want to scream at the sky, scream at society. And as a religious person, we have this thing... that says, what? Why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't God do something? And that's with us just about any injustice we see, right? Anything that's wrong, we get that, like, come on, God. Why don't you do something about this? I remember... My uncle David, most of you don't know him, My Uncle David is just a sweet man. And he's in his 70s now, I guess. And he has cerebral palsy. And so he can't use an ordinary mower. He has to have a mower with a transmission on it, you know, that a self-propelled mower. And he gave me a mower, you know, which more and more. Bad. And I'm like, oh, what's up with this? He gives me this nice Honda mower. He goes, oh, I took it into the mower shop that I've used for 30 years, and they said the transmission's blown on it, and I can't use it, you know, because it's actually his right side that's not right, and they said it was going to cost like I forget $400-600 something like that to replace this transmission on this mower, and it was better just to buy a new one from him. So I'm giving you this one. Great, okay, cool. So I used this mower for about a year, and I forget what went wrong, and my wife. Because she's the efficient one. Something went wrong on the mower, and she throws it in the back of her car and takes it down to the local mower shop. And they say, yeah, we got it running again, and by the way, we replaced that belt. The belt. The $10 belt that connects the drive from the transmission to the wheel. Just flies down the yard. But some guy, knowing that my uncle was handicapped, that he had cerebral palsy, and that he needed a mower that had a transmission in it, told him that the transmission was burnt instead. You think, yeah. And you think, hell is going to be hot. That's right, sister. I heard that. I'm like, Oh, there's a, you know, oh, he's going to be mowing for a long time down there. It's like, and they go, Lord, these people. I think, you know, who could do that? And who could hit somebody in the head with a baseball bat for $60? And who could, and man, I can't get my work done because I got to pray 3 hours in the morning now just to have my attitude right. And everything that we do to try to correct it only seems to make it more, it just exacerbates it. You know, people were exploiting people, and so we made drug laws, you know, created the FDA to protect patients, to make sure that good medicines were available. And companies exploit those and now cost, like, the EpiPen? Are you kidding me? How much is that now?
$600?
Yeah. For a $12 EpiPen. And the worst is with cancer patients. Or the people with genetic disorders who have to have medicines that are like $5,000 a dose now and it costs $30 to produce it. And everything we try to do to fix turns into a point that's available to be exploited. Because the problem, as my wife reminds me frequently, is that people are really, really broken and do the wrong thing. We try to protect people from discrimination. And in turn, we create protected classes. And then you get people doing things like setting up a bakery owner in Oregon by demanding that these, knowing that they're Christians, demand that they make a cake for their lesbian wedding. Oh, yeah. 2013. And then when they refuse, because it's they consider it participating in a ceremony to make the cake. Remember that Christians, our religious rituals are based on meals. Right? We see it as significant when we have a meal at a religious ceremony.
Been away for a long time.
$135,000 judgment against them. Ruined their bakery, their life's work, had to close everything. That's not protection of, that's not protection, that's exploitation. We try to protect our police as they do their jobs, and then they turn it into a cause to shoot somebody dead because they're running away from them. Because you can't be bothered to chase them. You're just angry that the guy beats you in a foot race, so you shoot him dead on camera in the back. And every time we try to make some correction, it just ends up being a point that gets exploited because people are really, really broken. And something is desperately wrong. And we can't fix it. And the more we try to fix it, the worse we make it, which is sort of the way that humans are. So that's what I've learned from this year, and I think that all of us can agree upon it, correct? If you have a Bible, please open to the book of Habakkuk. This week, okay. So there was a guy who was hired by a family to avenge a grudge in Iran on another family, and he threw acid into the face of a four-year-old and burned her face off and blinded her a few years ago. And his judgment, because you're going to correct, it's horrible to do that. So his judgment, fair is fair. 10 drops of sulfuric acid in each eye. Iran. To be blinded by sulfuric acid. Strapped down, 10 drops of acid in each eye. So even when it's fair, it's horrific, because the idea of the prospect, the fear. It's one thing to be surprised by an acid attack. It's another thing to know it's coming for a year. It's a different kind of helplessness, and it's horrific. So even when it's fair, it's not fair. Duterte in the Philippines decides he's going to fix the drugs problem. Almost 4,000 summary executions later, where people are being shot dead for being drug addicts. So it's not solved. And the solution just might be worse than the problem. So what do you do when it's systemic? What do you do when the problem is so pervasive that it's in the entire society? When the greed and the presumption are through the entire system, when the whole thing, all the institutions and the entire population are complicit in an entire way of life that exploits? What do you do when classes are fighting? Do you kill the whole class? How do you, I'm not talking about like college, okay?
although I know some professors who've gotten that frustrated,
which is what we do. We get frustrated and what do we do in schools now? You get frustrated. Take a gun and go shoot everybody. But what do you do when it's... How do you solve a war? How do you solve exploitation or violence on that scale? Because, and I proposed to you, I proposed to you before, but I'll propose to you again. I believe that every act of human violence can be found to be grounded in a distorted sense of justice. Oh, she deserved to have that stuff thrown in her face. He deserves to have his eyes gouged out. That was one of them. That was a year ago, I think it was, same place. The punishment, they gouged out his eye. Right? Oh, he deserves to get beaten. He scratched my car. He deserves, if he's so stupid that he's going to walk around Santa Ana with money, he deserves to be hit. If she didn't want to be treated that way, she shouldn't have worn those clothes. Oh, yeah? Well, that's what you get for opposing the United States. Oh, yeah? Well, hey, it's the law. It's all fair. Always a distorted sense of justice that puts us into a place to perform violence, which shows us that our sense of justice is not a reliable guide for human activity. We can't trust our sense of justice to guide our behaviors. Trusting our sense of justice has gotten us here. Right? Ironically, the people who strung up Jesus Christ thought that they were doing justice. We can't trust our sense of justice. The book of Habakkuk. Let me turn there. So the situation is late 7th century, early 6th century. And God has tried everything with Israel. He has tried sending prophets. He has tried changing kings. He has tried sending armies. He has tried, he has sent the law. He has wooed them. He has beaten them. He has yelled at them. He has pleaded with them. He has done everything possible that he can do. We saw this earlier with the book of Isaiah. What more could I have done to my vineyard that it brought forth injustice? And there's going to be a lot of reading, but we're going to follow a dialogue between one of the representatives of the Lord and the Lord. And hear him talk about this scenario. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you won't listen? I cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, judgment comes forth perverted. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And the voice of the Lord comes back. Look at the nations and see. Be astonished, be astounded. For a work is being done in your days that you would not believe if you were told. For I am rousing the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. Dread and fearsome are they. Their justice and dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, more menacing than wolves at dusk. Their horses charge. Their horsemen come from far away. They fly like an eagle swift to devour. They all come for violence with faces pressing forward and gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, and of rulers they make sport. They laugh at every fortress and heap up earth to take it. Then they sweep by like the wind, and they transgress and become guilty, and their own might is their God. He goes, oh, I heard. Why didn't I do something? I did something. I'm bringing in the hordes of Babylon. And they are going to kill everybody and wipe out every institution. And they are going to scrub this place clean and laugh as they do it. And no one will stop them. And this place is going to look like Aleppo when they're done. I didn't mean that. Because we have a tendency to go, why doesn't God do something? And then when he does it, we go, why'd you do that? Why'd you do something so severe? God, why don't you correct justice? Okay, I'm starting with you. Boom! Why'd you do that? It's justice. If we want justice for our society, and be careful, Christians, if we want justice for our society will end. Because that is the only way that God is going to bring justice to our society, because our society is too poisoned to survive. It's that wrong. What do we do with something so broken? Lord says, you want me to do? It's like, parents, you don't want me to pull over this car. Right? Yeah, and the moment the car hits the curb, what happens with the kids? No, and screaming and crying and... Yep, the car, you still get it. And Habakkuk says, why won't you do anything? I have to watch this all the time. He says, okay, I won't stand by. Yeah. And here's Habakkuk's response. Aren't you from of old, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? You shall not die. O Lord, you've marked them for judgment. And you, O Rock, have established them for punishment. Your eyes are too pure to behold evil, and you can't look on wrongdoing. Why do you look on treacherous and on? Why do you look on the treacherous and are silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? He says, no, that's for them. I only wanted you to judge the people I was thinking about. He says, you've made people like the fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler. The enemy brings up all of them with a hook. He drags them out with a net. He gathers them with his seine. So he rejoices and exults. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and makes offerings to his seine. For by them his portion is lavish and his food is rich. Is he then to keep on emptying his net and destroying nations without mercy? I can't help but notice, as a social science guy, I can't help but notice, do you really want to call in the Americans to help you? You know, like the t-shirt that said, be good to us or we'll bring liberty to you. It's like, you called in a nuclear strike. Do you realize what it means to call in God? We are so flippant. I heard a toddler across the back fence the other day. They're having some sort of a game, something. This is a toddler who could barely talk, and suddenly I hear clear as a bell, oh my God! Like, do you realize what it means to call in a God? And more so, the God? And we just throw out our complaint. Just throw them at the heavens, and our sense of injustice and our senses of indignation and our expectations of what God had better do. Let's hear the rest. He says, I'll stand at my watchpost and I'll station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me. This is Habakkuk saying, I'm going to listen now and what he will answer concerning my complaint. By the way, listen as much as we talk. That would be good with us and God, especially when we're complaining. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tables so that a runner could read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come and it won't delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them. But the righteous live by their faith. Moreover, wealth is treacherous. The arrogant do not endure. They open their throats wide as the grave. Like death, they never have enough. They gather all nations for themselves and collect all peoples as their own. Shall not everyone taunt such people and with mocking riddles say about them, alas for you who heap up what's not yours. How long will you load yourselves with goods taken in pledge? Will not your own creditors suddenly rise and those who make you tremble wake up? Then you will be booty for them. because you have plundered many nations. All that survive of the peoples shall plunder you. Because of the human blood shed and violence to the earth, to cities and all who live in them. Alas for you who get evil gain for your house, setting your nest on high to be safe from the reach of harm. You've devised shame for your house by cutting off many peoples. You've forfeited your own life. The very stones will cry out from the wall, and the plaster will respond from the woodwork. Alas for you who build a town by bloodshed and found a city on iniquity. Is it not from the Lord of hosts that people's labor only to feed the flames, and nations weary themselves for nothing? But the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Alas for you who make your neighbors drink, pouring out your wrath until they're drunk in order to gaze on their nakedness. You'll be sated with contempt instead of glory. Drink you yourself and stagger. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around to you, and shame will come upon your glory. For the violence done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, and destruction of the animals will terrify you because of human bloodshed and violence on the earth to cities and all who live in them. What use is an idol once its maker has shaped it, a cast image, a teacher of lies? For its maker trusts in what has been made, though the product is only an idol that can't speak. Alas for you who say to the wood, wake up, to silent stone, rouse yourself. Can it teach? See, it's gold and silver plated, and there's no breath in it at all, you and your Bentley. But the Lord's in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Proportion. All that to get to this. We've been covering God's vinyl, the songs of Scripture. Listen to this song that ends Habakkuk's prophecy. Brad, you almost stole the text. Job, there you are. I was going to read that too. Listen in light of what you read. The prayer of the prophet Habakkuk according to Shigionot. O Lord, I've heard of your renown, and I stand in awe, O Lord, of your work. In our own time, revive it. In our own time, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Timon, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the sun. Rays came forth from his hand where his power lay hidden. Before him went pestilence, and plague followed behind. He stopped and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The eternal mountains were shattered along his ancient pathways. The everlasting hills sank low. I saw the tents of Kashan under affliction. The tent curtains of the land of Midian trembled. Was your wrath against the rivers, O Lord, or your anger against the rivers, or your rage against the sea when you drove your horses, your chariots to victory? You brandished your naked bow, and sated were the arrows at your command. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. The torrent of water swept by. The deep gave forth its voice. The sun raised high its hands. The moon stood still in its place at the light of your arrows speeding by. At the gleam of your flashing spear, in fury, you trod the earth. In anger, you trampled the nations. You came forth to save your people, to save your anointed. You crushed the head of the wicked house, laying it bare from foundation to roof. You pierced with their own arrows the head of his warriors, who came like a whirlwind to scatter us, gloating as if ready to devour the poor who were hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the mighty waters. Be careful if you invoke God. You don't push that nuclear button quickly. I hear and I tremble within. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters my bones, and my steps tremble beneath me. I wait quietly for the day of calamity to come upon the people who attack us. He says, I'm just going to shut up. I'm going to wait quietly. And listen here, though the fig tree doesn't blossom, and no fruits on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails, and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there's no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. Makes me tread upon the heights. And Habakkuk lets go of his sense of justice. He lets it go. Think about how much pain is in your life, my life, the society's life. How much pain because we cling to our sense of justice. And we worship somebody strung up for us. He says, I'll wait quietly. God will take care of it. God sees. God knows. I don't have the scope to know what should be fixed. I don't have the wisdom to know how to fix it. I don't even really know what's wrong. He has shown thee, O man, what's good and what the Lord requires of thee. To do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. I encourage you, Christian, let go of your sense of right and wrong and lay everything on the Lord's lap. If you're unfruitful, if the olive isn't there, if the wine isn't there, if the grain isn't there, if you're ripped off, if someone takes your sheep, the Lord is your strength. Let it go. Let it go. Don't be a slave. Be free. Let it go. Let's pray. Yours is the authority, Lord. Yours is the judgment. Yours is the rule of this earth. Yours is the insight. We release to you all of our opinions, we release to you all of our ideas about justice and injustice. We release to you all of our words. We release to you everything held, for you have paid for us. And you are mighty. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Forever, teach us to walk humbly with you. In your name, to your glory.